Fantasies are meant to fire the imagination and feed on our secret desires. But what happens when those desires are dug out of us by the deft hands of a practiced lover? What happens when all our desires are realized? When our fantasies all become realities, do we lose something? Do we kill our fantasies when we make them manifest? I believe I have sent my fantasies to whatever afterlife fantasies have. I have seen the realization of all my deepest, most secret desires. And it all began with the faintest hint of a perfume. That was the first thing that I noticed. It was dark in the lobby of the theater, but the tantalizing aroma of jasmine beckoned me like the whispers of an old lover. The silhouette of her hourglass figure against the mezzanine was intoxicating. It was as if someone had propped up a Vargas girl and stood her there simply for my enjoyment. When her hips swayed in my direction, with a pace that suggested determination and focus, I could feel a cold sweat gather along the furrow of my brow. And breathtaking as her silhouette may have been, the dim light of the lobby revealed piercing emeralds that bore right through me and searched my soul. I know that in that very instant, I was little more than a fly caught in her web. Her face was framed by flame-red curls, no doubt coiffed to accentuate her high cheekbones and her very full lips. When she spoke, it was as if only I were capable of hearing her. She leaned in to whisper with a voice so sweet and husky, like the first tapping of a cask of a dry sherry. And I shivered with each word she poured into my ear. She made her intent to possess me very clear at that very moment, and not once did I offer an utterance of protest. I wanted to be possessed every bit as much as she wanted to possess me. After the show, I was led to her villa. This would become my gilded cage and I her prized possession. Within the confines of this opulent edifice, I would give myself over to her so much more completely than I ever thought any person ever could. Her nimble fingers found in me erogenous zones I couldn't have even imagined possible. She took me to the greatest heights of ecstasy and pulled me back just before the moment of truth. She would repeat this process more times than I had the capacity to count. Always she would take mercy on me and would then finish me off, just for being such a very good boy. I was her possession, her toy. I was a plaything to her, and my pleasure was the object of her amusement. She took such great pleasure in arousing and pleasing me. And it took me a while to begin to realize that I had become a selfish glutton for my own pleasure. I'd thought nothing for the pleasures of my kind and giving mistress. I realized that this is just how she wanted it. I imagined all sorts of scenarios of her pleasing herself to the memories of bringing such torturous pleasure to me. But still, a guilt began to grow inside my heart. My mistress had been so giving to me and asked nothing in return, and all I had done was take and take and take. How could I rectify this? How could I give back to the one who had given me so much? I had to make some sort of attempt to return a modicum of what had been graced upon me. I had to. And I endeavored to return some semblance of pleasure to her, but all of my efforts were rebuffed. No matter how much I pleaded, she would silence me, and then continue to pleasure me. We were proceeding just as she wanted us to. This was a dream come true. So how could it feel like a nightmare? How could I feel so unfulfilled when I was given pleasure so freely? It just felt wrong, not being able to reciprocate. My mistress could see that it was wearing on me and that it was affecting my pleasure. And she took me into her arms and stroked my hair, speaking softly into my ear. She reassured me that all was proceeding according to plan, and that I was now finally ready for the final phase. The next night would prove to be the culmination of all her efforts with me. I would soon understand why she had chosen me. And she assured me that she was so proud of me, and that I was such a good boy for her. The following evening, I entered my bedchamber to find two boxes on my bed. I opened the smaller of the two boxes first. Within it, I found a leather thong, which I quickly donned. Also in this box was a pair of silk slippers, which I also slid on. When I opened the second box, I found a black silken cloak, which I put on and then awaited my mistress. Footsteps came from behind me and placed a blindfold over my eyes and drew up my hood. I was then guided out of the villa and into a car. The ride was fairly long, and the anticipation had my heart running like a deer being chased by a hunter. But when the car finally came to a stop, I was assisted from the car by a strong hand with an unfamiliar voice. And I was too nervous to be concerned with my modesty over how I was dressed beneath my cloak. The strong hand, oddly enough, was comforting. He guided me into some building and into a cool room. It wasn't overly cold, but it was cool enough that my nipples stood on end and rubbed against the inside of the silken cloak. And the feeling of that was exquisite. The strong hands drew my cloak from my body, and I stood nearly denuded before a small number of people. I could hear whispers, and I could just feel the eyes upon me. I could even hear the odd word of admiration of what they were seeing before them, admiration of me. And then I heard my mistress. She welcomed the small crowd and thanked everyone for their patience. My mistress traced a delicious fingernail along my shoulder, from the nape of my neck down to my elbow, as she walked past me. Then her comforting and familiar hand took hold of mine very lightly and led me to a small raised platform, perhaps a dais. She beckoned the guests to marvel at me. The feeling was beyond explanation. So many hands rubbed and caressed all over my body. Men and women felt every part of it. My thong was gone in short order, and so many hands were feeling my cock and balls. And I could hear so many words of approval. My cock jumped at all the attention, and pre-cum oozed from the tip. This even elicited a cheer from the crowd, and there was a small scramble from them to claim that little offering. After this initial assessment, I was made to lie on some sort of frame, and my ankles and wrists were bound to hold me in place. I felt a stir of panic at being restrained, but to hear my mistress speak, and knowing that she was there, calmed me once again. But once again, hands were all over me. Now mouths were all over me. A man? I had never kissed a man until then. I think I enjoyed it. Then a woman kissed me, and she was so gentle. Her mouth tasted faintly of gin and vermouth. Then there was a mouth sucking the head of my cock, and it was definitely a man's mouth. There was a man's mouth on my cock, and I did not want him to stop. There were cocks vying for my hands, and I could feel the juices of a pussy dripping into my mouth just before a clit settled into my mouth. Finally, I could offer pleasure to someone else. I licked and sucked that clit as though it held the milk of life itself. The poor woman had a tremulous orgasm and had to be helped off of me. But it wasn't long before the next pussy was parked on my mouth, and I greedily lapped at it like a starving dog. I held the cocks in my hand and let them fuck my hands, all the while being ridden by whomever happened to be straddling me. I'm almost certain that more than one man took his turn riding my cock, and it turned me on so much to be used by these friends of my mistress. As per my vigorous training, I lasted a good long while, outlasting each and every member of the guests. Finally, it was time for my mistress to take hers, the culmination of all our work. She removed my blindfold and kissed me softly before sliding down slowly onto my throbbing and tender cock. I had been ridden hard by nearly everyone else in the room, but they all disappeared as I gazed up into her eyes. She moved her hips artfully, and our bodies melded into one. I couldn't tell you where one ended and the other began, cliché as it is. I struggled with the restraints, wanting so badly to touch her skin. I was desperate for greater intimacy. I wanted to express my love for my mistress, but she kept me tied to the frame as she coaxed my climax from me, like the expert that she was. I held out as long as I could, but her ministrations were too much for me to handle. I began to buck, and she rode each tremor like a professional, and squeezed a thunderous orgasm out of me. I came so hard deep inside of her that I passed out. And when I came to, I was back in my bedchamber, back at the villa. I'd been cleaned and dressed, and I gazed out the window at the setting sun and wept softly, mourning the passing of my fantasies. The little death